Praise the Lord. He's alive and well today. Amen. Thank God he's here. And if you're saved, your heart within you does cry. Amen. Hey, and we'll talk about that in the message today. But if you've got a copy of God's Word with you, and I hope you do, we'll be in Matthew chapter number 28 this morning, Matthew 28. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10, but we're going to focus this morning on verses 5 through 9, a part of the passage I've never preached on before, but I've got a thought the Lord's laid on my heart that I hope will be an encouragement and a help to you. If you were here in the sunrise service, I'm going to pick up exactly where Pastor Daniel left off. He ended with peace, and I'm going to start with peace. But I just praise the Lord how he brings everything together, and that just confirmed in my heart that this is where the Lord wanted me to be. So Matthew 28, when you found your place, I ask you to please stand if you're able for the reading of God's holy word. Matthew 28, I'm going to read verses 1 through 10, very familiar passage of scripture on the resurrection. Before this, our Lord has been crucified on the cross of Calvary. He has been taken down, placed in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, and we are now after 3 days and three nights, we're at the tomb where our Lord lay. Let's read this. And the Bible says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Pastor Daniel, would you open us in a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for this special morning together.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. So as we hop right into the message, you know what has happened leading up to this. And as I was studying and praying over, like Pastor Daniel did, I asked him, I said, what do you think you're going to preach on Sunday? And he said, I'm not sure yet, but he was reading all the different passages on the resurrection, and that's what I did. And then I came to, uniquely, in my mind anyways, to verses 5 through 9 of chapter 28. And there's four things I want to point out in these verses. Three products of the resurrection and one statement we'll see in here about the resurrection. But things I believe will encourage us, challenge us, and make us want to serve the Lord more when we leave this place today. But the first thing we see in verses 5 through 9 is the resurrection, and this is where Pastor Daniel ended his message this morning, produces peace. The resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ produces peace. Remember, that's why he came. What did the angel say when he was born in Bethlehem? The Bible says in Luke 2:14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men," or literally, "peace to men on whom his favor rests." Yeah. Jesus came to bring peace to his children. And praise God. And Pastor Daniel talked about that this morning, the two aspects of peace that he talked about when he was saying it. I was like, hey, man, brother, you're saying exactly what I'm going to say. And God must want somebody to know that we can have peace because of Christ's work on the cross and his resurrection. But the first type of peace that we must have before we can have the other is peace with God. Peace with God. That's the ultimate peace that Christ came to give. Because of what happened in Genesis chapter 3, from that point on, every person to ever live was born a sinner. And because you and I are born sinners, we sin. Us sinning doesn't make us a sinner, but because we are sinners, we sin. We are born sinners. And because of that, I almost preached on Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. But because of that, God had a plan set in motion. The Bible says, before the world began, that the Bible says he was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He had a plan in place for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come to earth, live a perfect life, the life that we should have lived, died on the cross, the death that we should have died. And he was buried and he rose again so that we could have peace with God. Because we're enemies of God apart from Christ. We're not friends. We're enemies. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, if you don't know God, he's not your friend. You're his enemy because you're a sinner. And God hates sin. You want to know how much God hates sin? Look at the cross. That is a beautiful picture of how much God hates sin and yet how much God loves us. Someone had to bear the most grueling punishment anyone has ever borne. Jesus, I walked through it, I won't walk all the way through it, but he endured all of that. He took the wrath of God upon himself. He was forsaken by God. God turned his back on his son. Now, how does God turn his back on God? I'm not going to try to explain that, but it happened. And he was forsaken by God so that we wouldn't have to be. Jesus did all that he did so that we could have peace with God. But you know, without the resurrection, we could not have peace with God. Jesus died. His death would have just been another death. Now, very grueling and terrible death, but just another death. But praise God, 3 days later, he did exactly what he said he would do. He rose from the grave, and now the gospel has power. Now the gospel is good news because Jesus did all that needs to be done, and all he asks of us is faith and repentance, and he will forgive, he will save, and he will give the hope of heaven. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, on this Resurrection Sunday 2022, God wants to give you peace with him. God hates your sin, but he loves you so much that he sent Jesus to pay the price for your sin. Jesus did all that needs to be done. See, there are many religions of the world, well, every other religion of the world apart from true Christianity, that's do, 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 do. But true Christianity and the Bible, it says it's done by Christ. And all you got to do is place your faith in him. And when you do that, you have peace with God. You're no longer an enemy of God, but you're a friend of God, a child of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And that baffles my mind because I know me. I know how I've been after I got saved. But praise God, he forgave past, present, and future. And my standing with God will never change because it doesn't rest in me. Thank God. My standing with God doesn't rest in me, but rests in Christ and his finished work on the cross. The resurrection produces peace. Peace with God. And then like Pastor Daniel talked about this morning, once you have peace with God as his child, you can have the peace of God. You can have the peace of God. Peace that sustains you and empowers you and enables you, which we'll talk more about that in a moment, no matter what circumstances you're going through in life. So we see that this peace that I'm talking about, it begins at salvation. That's the start. You're an enemy of God until you get saved by the grace of God. Then you become a friend, a child of God. You have peace with God. Then you have access to the peace of God. So it begins at salvation, and then it can be had in every situation. Brother Daniel actually quoted part of this song, which I had in mind to quote as well. I'm thinking, we're connected. We're connected at the hip this morning. But I was like, amen, praise the Lord. But I'm going to read this song to you. Who knows? We may sing the chorus if you all know it well enough. But the song's called Because He Lives. It says, God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Then let's sing the chorus together. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And that's a fact. Because He lives, we can have peace in every situation. I love the next verse says, how sweet to hold the newborn baby and feel the pride and the joy He gives. But greater still, the calm assurance, this child, and I thank God for this because I got one on the way, this child can face uncertain days because He lives. And then one day I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know He reigns. Because He lives. If you're His child, you can have peace in every situation. In the worst of circumstances, you can have the peace of God in your heart. If for no other reason, but because you know you're His child. But notice it's called the peace of God. It's the peace that God has. See, nothing catches God by surprise or catches God off guard or worries God or makes Him fret. It doesn't worry Him at all. So when you have His peace, then you're not worried or afraid or fear or stressed. So as long as you're trusting in Him, you can have peace. That's what Pastor Daniel's point was this morning. The resurrection basically dispels and gets rid of worry. We don't have to worry. We can have peace because of the resurrection. We can have the peace of God because we have been saved, because He shelters us, because He sustains us, because He strengthens us, and I love this, because He is always by our side. You know, that's why the Bible says, and it talks about in Psalm chapter 46, verse 1, that He's a very present help in trouble. You know why? It's not that He gets there quickly. He's already there when you get there. He never leaves you nor forsake you. He's always with you. And if you'll let Him, if you'll cry out to Him, if you'll run to Him, if you'll run to that city of refuge because of the resurrection, He can give you peace, and then the world can look at you. There have been some people in my life who've been going through terrible circumstances with joy. You could just see it on them with a smile on their face. And I'm thinking, what in the world? But it was the peace of God that a child of God can have. And it's because of the resurrection. So we see, number one, the resurrection produces peace. But number two, the resurrection produces faith in His promises. Now, I didn't point this out in our text, and I'm sorry I didn't do that. But in regards to the first point, it says, and the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye. See, there was no fear needed to be had. There was only peace because their Lord, their Savior, had risen from the dead. So the resurrection produces peace, but the resurrection also produces faith in His promises. So as we continue on, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for He is risen. Say these next three words with me, as He said. And that is why I love that Matthew's recording of this account is probably my favorite, because it reminds us that He said it was going to happen, and then it happened. He fulfilled it. So when we look at Him, we see that His resurrection first validated His person. Our Lord, when He rose from the dead, everything that He said about Himself, everything the Word of God said about Him, the resurrection validated it all. See, the world today, I've heard people say that Jesus was just a normal man. Or some people may say He didn't even exist at all. But we see, because of the resurrection, we know that our Lord is not just a normal man. Now, He was a man. He was 100% man and 100% God. Just to give you a big word that maybe you can wow somebody with, that's the hypostatic union. Now, I'm not going to explain that any further, but that's what that is. 100% God, 100% man. But see, Jesus was not just a man, but He was the God-man. He was God in flesh, and He proved that when he rose from the dead, he validated his person, but also he validated his promises. Not just the promises in regards to his resurrection, but because this came, he made this come true. That lets us know that every other promise that we see in the Word of God, he will keep. All of them. You read a promise, look at the resurrection. He kept that promise. He'll keep that promise. The resurrection needs to encourage us. The resurrection gives power to the whole Word of God. It makes it more than just a regular book that we have on our shelf, but a living Word, because the God of it, He lived, He died, was buried, and rose again, and is seated on the throne. And because of that, this book is alive. And when you read a promise, you can know it's going to come true. Because God said it, and He cannot lie, and He will fulfill it. And one promise that should encourage us is that talking about when He's coming again, He's going to get us out of here. If He fulfilled the resurrection promise, that means He's going to fulfill the promise that we're going to go home to be with Him one day. This earth isn't it. I thank God for that. Because of the resurrection, we can be encouraged by that. The Bible says He's the firstborn among many brethren. Because He rose, we're going to rise. So when you see a promise in the Word of God, you can know that it will come true. And that's because of the resurrection. If He had lived a good life and died and never rose again, then there would have just been good sayings. But now they have power, and He will fulfill His promises. And He proved that when He rose from the dead. So we see the resurrection produces peace. The resurrection produces faith in His promises. And number three, here's the statement I was talking about. The resurrection is a fact that has been proven. Now, before I read my points, I think I've actually got a picture. Pastor Daniel said he wanted to go to the tomb. This is actually believed to be the very tomb where our Lord stepped out of. This is the one. So if you ever go to Israel and you want to see the spot where our Lord rose from the dead from, this is it right here. And just so you know, it's still empty. Praise God. He's not there anymore. And I thank God for that. The resurrection is a fact that has been proven. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 8. We see first that He has been seen. He has been seen. First Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 8. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That is the gospel. "And that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, He was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, He was seen of me," that's speaking of Paul, "also as of one born out of due time." We see Jesus was physically seen with the eyes of these people we just read about. At one point, 500 people at once. One unsaved psychologist said it would be physically impossible for that many people to be under a hallucination of that magnitude at that time. He said, would it be impossible? Because some people use that. Well, maybe they were in a trance or under hallucination. They thought they saw Him. A lost psychologist said that is impossible. 500 people saw our Lord at one time. And just so you know, that is a requirement to be an apostle, is to see the risen Christ. And that is why there are no apostles on planet Earth today. Because no one on planet Earth today has seen the risen Christ. If they say they're an apostle, that is not true. Because one of the requirements is to see the risen Christ. And we saw the ones that did there in 1 Corinthians. But we see there that the resurrection is a fact that has been proven. He has been seen, but also He has saved. What I mean by that is, if you're here today, and you've been saved by the grace of God, that is proof of the resurrection. That's proof. In that song, I loved what it said, is my heart cries. That's validation. Your heart's saying, that's true. That's right. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit lives within your heart. Another song that I wanted to read, I rarely ever read songs, but I just couldn't get these two off my mind. It's called If You Knew Him. It says, I walked by the tomb of Buddha, looked inside and saw his bones, traveled on to see Muhammad still wrapped up in his grave clothes. Then I journeyed to a garden where old Joseph left him lay. The precious lamb, God's own begotten, was no longer in that grave. Then the chorus, if you knew him like I know him, you would know that he's alive. If you felt him like I feel him, resurrection deep inside, you'd know he's living and death has died. Then it says, if you're wandering in the darkness, come and step into the light. Nail-scarred hands reach out to help you, to pull you safe from death to life. Friend, I too have stood where you stand. Could I trust in things unseen? But just one step in his direction, then in love he ran to me. If you knew him like I know him, you would know that he's alive. If you felt him like I feel him, resurrection deep inside, you'd know he's living and death has died. Then it says, you ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Amen. If you're a child of God, you know he's alive.
Right.
Now, it's our salvation is not about feelings. But when the God of the universe takes up residence in your heart,
Amen.
That's validation of his life, of him alive. And in you, and you will feel that. Just like what Brother Bruce said in one of his messages, talking about a little boy guessing Jesus' height. So say I'm my size and Jesus is 6'2 or 6'3, he's going to stick out a little bit, right? And that's how it should be with a child of God. When the Lord lives within you, he will come out and live through you if you'll let him. So we see here the resurrection is a fact that has been proven. Then it says there in our text, he is not here, for he has risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. That's why I showed you that. We could still go there today. He's still not there because he's alive. They did not steal his body. Just like the Jews, verses 11 through 15, is another validation that he is alive. Even the Pharisees who hated him believed he rose because they paid these soldiers so much money to spread a lie. That just goes to show you, just because it happened doesn't mean everyone that knew it believed it. It's not enough to have the information. You got to believe it in your heart. But we see here the resurrection is a fact that has been proven. And then number four, and finally, the resurrection produces proclamation. The resurrection produces proclamation. Look at our text again, verse 7. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. So we see the resurrection produces proclamation. But first I want to point out, proclamation for a child of God, it is required. And we see that in our text before us later on, verses 18 through 20. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So we see here that it is required, where it's commanded to us by our Lord. But honestly, I believe for a child of God who's experienced resurrection power, I believe it's a natural response. I believe we won't be able to help. We can't help but tell people what he's done for us. to tell him what he did for them. See, once again, the resurrection gives power to the gospel. You can now tell people he lived a perfect life, died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. Amen. And now because of that, he can do for you what he did for me. But one thing I want to point out as we look at this, it's a natural response. And if we will do it, because I know that our flesh, it's one of the scariest things in the whole world to witness to people. And the devil wants to make it as uncomfortable for your flesh as possible. But if you'll do it, special things will happen. Look what happens here. The first thing I want to point out, if you'll tell people, we see here in our text, there will be a meeting. Look what happens. Verse 7, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. So they were doing what they were told. They were excited to tell others that Christ had risen from the dead. They were doing what they were commanded. And look what happens when you do what God tells you to do. And I've experienced this in my life. In times maybe I was afraid, but I took the step of faith. The Lord always met me there. Great things happened. I mean, the Lord was with me. But when I say met him there, you will experience his presence and his power. Look what happens. So they went. And it says, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. There was a great meeting. They went to do what they were told. And when they did, they were met by Jesus. Jesus, man, his presence was before them. I believe when we go to do what we've been commanded to do by our Lord, he will manifest his presence to us because he wants us to know that that's what he wants us to do. Every time in my life that I was given an opportunity to speak or to give a testimony, and this is way before I started preaching, every time it was like the Lord manifested himself in that moment because he was letting me know, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do. And when you do it, I'm going to bless it. Now, the Bible tells us if we are faithful to go and tell, spread the gospel, and fulfill the Great Commission, that 3 out of 4 people we see in the parable of the sower are not going to get saved, but there is that one. It's not our job to know which one. It's just our job to sow the seed. And as we go, God will bless it. And I believe he'll manifest with his presence. Maybe that's the reason why so many Christians today have not felt the Lord's presence in a while. I know it's not about feelings, but maybe that's why they haven't felt the Lord's presence in a while, because they haven't stepped out and done what he told them to do. Maybe he's just waiting on you to take that step to do what he's told you to do in his word. And when you do it, he'll meet you there. He'll manifest himself to you. And we see when the Lord shows up, we see there was a meeting, but there will also be magnification. Look what happens here. The Bible says, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. It produces worship. But we got to do what he tells us to do. And as we look at the resurrection, I encourage you to read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read the account of the resurrection. Read in the epistles the many times the resurrection is the focus. When you think about that, and you look at the cross, and you look at what our Lord did for you and did for me, it will motivate us to want to go out and tell these people. Imagine how excited they were after watching their Lord be slain for them. They watched him die. They knew he had been placed in a tomb. And then now they're standing before him. That's why, like Pastor Daniel said this morning, that's why they were willing that with joy to die for their faith. Some people say, they were just dying for a lie. And then one Christian professor said, no one is going to willingly die for something they know is not true. These disciples knew it was true. They saw the risen Lord, and it changed their life forever. And they could not help but tell. Especially on this day, everyone they came into contact with. That's what we're told to do at the end. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. See, the world is dead in their trespasses and sins. They're in a place where we were, apart from Jesus. Dead. Don't know any better. And it's our job to proclaim the good news of the gospel to them, plant the seed, so that God can work in their heart, I believe, give them an opportunity to choose Him or not to choose Him. Because they do have a choice. No one is forced into salvation, but I believe that we have a choice, and as we sow the gospel, that enables God to work in that heart.
Yeah.
But we got to go, and we've got to sow. And if we will, I believe the Lord will manifest Himself to you. He'll love on you. He'll encourage you. He'll empower you. He'll help you. And you may be persecuted for it. But remember the disciples in the New Testament. They were just preaching the gospel, sharing the good news, talking about the resurrection. And they were beaten because of it. But they left with joy in their hearts because they knew that they had done what God told them to. And I believe the Lord Jesus was manifesting Himself by the power of the Holy Spirit to them in that moment. Because that's how He produces joy in our hearts, even in the worst of circumstances. So we see here this morning the resurrection produces peace. The resurrection produces faith in His promises. The resurrection is a fact that has been proven. And the resurrection produces proclamation. May God help us today as we go out. Maybe we go to one of the $750 Dollar Generals in Mountain City, or to a restaurant, or to our family's houses, or wherever we're going today. But let's go with the intention of telling people that our Lord's alive. Telling them that He can do for them what He has done for you and me. If there's ever a day that we need to do that, today, literally today is the day. And in this day and time we live in, definitely. We've got a wall full of gospel tracts. We've got Easter gospel tracts. One that I have found that is easy to give out, especially to, and when I say older people, I mean people over the age of like 30. That's not a joke. That's not a joke. I didn't even mean it that way. That was an accident. All I meant was, although that is older than me. But that's not what I meant. I promise, there was no ill intent in that. Older people, you take that for whatever you think it is. But with Brother Bruce Fry's gospel tract, you say here is a powerful testimony that I believe that will encourage you. And people grab it. And I mean, I saw multiple people just snap it open immediately and want to see what God did in his life. One person saw Hank Williams Jr. I said, no, it's not him, but he played with him. And he thought, and she wanted to read it. And we've got some of those in the back here. And we got some over there. If nothing else, you can hand out a gospel tract today, can't you? You're at the gas pump today. Hand out a tract. Talks about the cross. Talks about the resurrection. And they all share the gospel. Yeah. Or maybe today as you're sitting around the table with your lost family and friends, make Jesus the focus of your conversation. I know there's going to be some fun had today. I know there's going to be some eggs hunted today. But let's make sure Jesus is the focus. Okay? The devil would love nothing more than us to get distracted from the true purpose. That's why he has a counterfeit for every actual holiday. Because he wants our eyes off of Christ. But let's leave here with the intent, by the power of the Holy Ghost, we're going to tell people about Jesus today. Because there's power in it because of the resurrection. Because of that, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. May God help us to share it. As Miss Anna comes to the piano this morning, maybe you want to come this morning and you just want to thank the Lord for what He's done for you. Maybe you just want to come to the altar and praise Him for who He is. As she begins to play, the altar's open. Don't leave here today without doing business with God. Maybe you're here today and you've been trying to turn over a new leaf, to do things quote unquote right now that you haven't done right in the past. That's not how to become right with God. The only way to become right with God is to acknowledge your sin before God Ask Him to forgive you of your sin and save your soul. And I can say with absolute confidence that He will do it. He doesn't want you to turn over a new leaf. He wants you to be changed from the inside out by the power of the gospel because of the resurrection. People are praying. The altar's still open. For kind attention, you can look up this way. I pray.